Hey everybody, happy Friday. Today's chapter is John chapter 20. As usual, let me read this first for us, and then I will share some thoughts about this chapter. John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. There is a lot packed into this chapter, so there's certainly a lot of different things we could talk about, but I'm going to focus just on the end of the book, starting in verse 24. But as usual, I really do encourage you to take time on your own outside of this Devo to meditate and reflect upon this chapter. Maybe there are other things that God wants to highlight to you today. But again, I'm going to just focus on the end, starting in verse 24. In verses 24 through 29, we read the story of Thomas. If you grew up in the church, you may remember that this Thomas is often referred to as Doubting Thomas because of this passage. We read that when the disciples told him that they had seen the resurrected Christ, well, Thomas doesn't believe them. He responds by saying, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." You could feel kind of bad for him for this nickname. It's an unfortunate one, and it seems to have stuck through the centuries. But you can also see why it has stuck. Because it's not just a light sense of disbelief, like, oh, I don't know, guys. Like, did you really see him? Like, are you sure? Rather, he seems pretty emphatic. He says he will never believe if he doesn't see or touch Jesus himself. Well, lo and behold, we see in verse 26 that just 8 days later, Jesus appears before the disciples again. And this time, Thomas is there to witness it. Like the previous time, Jesus somehow appears even though the doors were locked, and he says, "Peace be with you." Then, this time, he approaches Thomas directly and says, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Imagine how you would feel if you were Thomas. My guess is that at this point, Thomas is not only shocked, but probably super embarrassed that Jesus is essentially calling him out in front of his friends. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Sometimes it seems like Thomas gets a bad reputation for being that doubting Thomas, but if we're honest with ourselves, we can all say that we've had those moments of doubt as well. I think all of us can agree that, like Thomas, it can sometimes, maybe very often actually, be quite difficult to believe without seeing. The scriptures are filled with promises from God about who he is and who we are and about God's good plans for us. And sometimes we believe and don't have too much difficulty doing that. But other times, especially depending on the circumstances or even sometimes based on how we're feeling, we don't believe. We doubt. We lack trust. Like Thomas, we say one way or another that because we have not yet seen, we will not believe. Right? I'm sure all of us have times when we've been like this. I think it's for this very reason that the gospel writer John follows up this story with verses 30 and 31. In the ESV, which I read from, these two verses have the subheading, "The Purpose of This Book." What is that purpose? Well, it says in verse 31, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Yes, believing without seeing can be difficult. But the good news is that we're not called to believe blindly. We've been given this gospel account and the Bible as a whole. The Bible allows us to see and to know Jesus and then enter into a relationship with him, which leads us to eternal life. The Bible isn't simply an instruction manual or a set of moral do's and don'ts. It's not just a historical account or just a fantasy book with fun stories. I said this the other day, but scripture in its entirety leads to Jesus. This is why we read the Bible, because the scriptures reveal Jesus to us and shows us that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and we can come to believe and have eternal life through the scriptures and because we can come to know him. In some ways, I'm preaching to the choir by talking about this to all of you. After all, you're listening to a morning devotional, and I assume you know the importance of scripture, at least to some extent, enough to at least listen to this devo. But even still, I'm sure all of us have room to grow when it comes to the role of scripture in our lives. And so let's be increasingly committed to the reading of the word and seeking to understand it. I've said this a couple times already this week. I said it at the start of this recording, but I encourage you to not only listen to the word being read and then one of the staff sharing some thoughts, but let's also meditate on our own, asking the Spirit to reveal his truths. And again, more than just information, reveal more of Jesus directly to you as you spend time in the word. Each of us is going to have times, whether it's entire seasons of life or even just a single moment from time to time, when we have doubt, when we have a hard time believing, when we don't trust God for one reason or another. But among other things, being in the Word, or at least being able to turn to it when we have those moments of doubt, will help us to see the truth and be grounded in it. So if you've been reading along with us in this journey through the New Testament, or even just so far in the book of John, great job. Let's keep it up. If this is new for you, maybe you're joining for the first time or you've been kind of irregular at it, I just want to encourage you to keep going. Let's keep being in the Word, meditating on it, allow ourselves to see Jesus and come to know Him more fully as we invest into the reading of the Word. So with that, let me close out this devotion with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can come to know You and believe in You, put our trust in You, and have life in You because of what this Word says. Lord, it's through Your Scriptures, among other means, of course, but you know, Your Scripture allows us to come to know You and to see You. And therefore, again, as it says in the chapter we read, can come to believe and have life in You. Lord, help us to take Your Word seriously, to hold on to these words, to make it a priority, to read it, to meditate on it, to absorb it. Because we know, Lord, that it's through Your Word that we can come to know You and again, have that life that we long for. And so God, thank You for this time that we could spend in Your Word. I pray even as we maybe take some more time outside of this recording to read it again, to meditate upon it, to listen for Your voice. I pray that You would speak to us, make Yourself known to us in greater measure today. So thank You again for Your Word. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.